Curry trying to draw contact again. Had the shot blocked. Here comes Siakam. Sidestep. Layup is good. Wow, what a quarter for Siakam.
It's not matter who's in front of him. He is having his way. Aggressive with his foot on the gas pedal and making big-time offensive plays.
Mad Radio on a Friday. Good morning on Sports Radio 610. After the Raptors beat the Warriors in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, 118-109. We've also got the latest in as the Saltgrass Rockets turn. Mike D'Antoni's back, but only for a short period of time.
There are no lame ducks, Mike. It's a media creation to describe something that has no other word.
Yep.
Dylan Fertitta says lame duck. Lame duck is a media creation. Okay, then I guess it describes something. It describes a coach who's in the last year of his contract. So is that's more cumbersome to say that every time. That Mike D'Antoni's a coach in the last year of his contract, and he was offered an incentive base. So after giving the Rockets the best three seasons they've ever had in succession, in terms of wins and losses, obviously no championship there.
Yes.
69-year-old Mike D'Antoni needs an incentive-laden contract, in the opinion of Tillman Fertitta.
Apparently so.
Not one that gives him, you know, anything. Well, we don't know what the exact numbers are, but...
Well, Tillman threw out some exact numbers that we'll get to in a second here, but the bottom line is Mike D'Antoni's back, but the negotiations on a new deal have broken off. So he's only back for the one season that he has left on his original option contract. D'Antoni said, "We could not come to terms on an extension. I have my contract still. I'm looking forward to the year and having a great season." Folks, this is a weird deal, and what they're doing with Mike D'Antoni is an absolute total crock. But don't necessarily take it from me. You can take it from them. You can listen in and make your judgments. This is Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey and Tad Brown. Daryl looking like a war prisoner, essentially. Like, blink twice if something is really wrong, okay? But take a listen to Tillman.
Daryl Morey on the current situation. They've been feeding me fine. Tillman gives me 20% off at all restaurants. I'm fine.
I mean, my God. Fine.
I don't miss Les Alexander at all. I'm operating just as I would normally.
Here's Tillman on the type of deal they offered Mike D'Antoni.
We're not going to ever probably go do crazy long-term contracts for coaches, okay? But Mike's our coach. If we're successful, we're going to sit down at the end of this year and we'll keep working it out. I would prefer him to always work with at least a two-year contract. His agent decided that that's not the way they want it to work. We wanted to keep Mike, not this year, but again next year, and then sit down after this year and extend him again, okay? But a two-year rolling after a three- or four-year contract is somewhat normal in sports.
They gave Daryl Morey a five-year contract extension in March. So,
yes.
Okay, Tillman.
He said that's somewhat normal? Am I wrong there?
He claimed.
That the two-year rolling contract is a normal situation in sports?
Yeah, he acted like that was standard operating procedure.
That doesn't sound right at all. Huh.
I mean,
He did bring up in this press conference the fact that the Rockets just finished paying off Kevin McHale.
Did he mention that?
Yeah, well, he said, "I think we just paid one of the last guys or something, didn't we?" To paraphrase.
Is that his obligation?
What's that?
The Kevin McHale contract. Is that his obligation?
I don't know. Maybe it was one of the assistant coaches. He referenced the coach and he said was. What do you mean? Is that his obligation? You mean the Rockets?
I know it's the Rock. I don't know how to. Maybe I'm the one who should know that, but. I wonder how that works.
What do you mean?
Well,
he bought the business. The business is paying Kevin McHale.
So he assumed that debt to Kevin McHale.
Yeah, that's okay. All worked into the...
For some reason, I didn't realize that.
The balance sheet there, yeah.
Okay,
it's not like Les Alexander is up in his wine cellar in Long Island really writing out a check to
Kevin McHale?
To Kevin McHale, yeah.
So here's Tillman, and this is all courtesy of Fox 26 and Mark Berman, on the specific incentives offered to Mike D'Antoni that he turned down.
I made Mike a great extension offer. It was one of the better base salaries in basketball, but also had the highest incentives in basketball. Mike could make $4 million in incentives. And if you talk about... it was $4 million worth of incentives. And if you go from the second round to winning the championship, you can get there real easy, okay?
Real easy.
And I've always, you know, business is business, and I'm a very incentive-based guy. And if you perform, I want you to do unbelievable, and if you don't perform, then let's always just sit down and talk about why you didn't perform.
That's and it's true. Like, look, it's $4 million in incentives, and just no more questions than that. It's $4 million in incentives. Like, okay, so if Tillman Fertitta, I assume that if I gave Tillman Fertitta a contract to say, hey, Tillman, you should come work for Entercom. I'm going to pay you $75,000 a year. But if you double sales, I'll give you $3 billion in incentives. Double yes. sales in 1 year. Like, don't vaguely tell me that you could win this much in incentives. I have no idea exactly how you come by the incentives and where, like, what the base salary is for Mike D'Antoni or anything. I think this is the thing that I'm nervous about now with Tillman Fertitta, because I was tepidly defending him because I like the aggressive mindset. I like the aggressive attitude. But there are such a thing as sunk costs in professional sports. Like, at times you have to extend a coach, and maybe you're going to have to eat that contract if you decide to make a change. You've let go of four key assistants. Now you are not extending your contract. It looks like, listen, I don't know exactly what happened, but the way this will be perceived around the league is that you just didn't want to pony up like some reasonable money for Mike D'Antoni, who doesn't sound like he's trying to break the bank or anything here. That's the way it'll be perceived. So now you got to go out. You got rid of Jeff Pizdelic. I kind of get that because I don't know exactly what was going on with it. But you got to fill in those four assistant spots and try to create some kind of harmony between two harmonious players in James Harden and Chris Paul. You got all these things circling around. And by the way, yeah, you are creating a lame duck situation. Like, that's just the fact of the matter. Like,
absolutely.
Are you going to attract coaches? Are you going to attract players? Are you going to do all those things where you're not just running it back, you're going to get better? This isn't the best way to go about it. Unless Tillman Fertitta ends up being one of, like, the vanguards, like one of the just revolutionary owners in sport, and he's going to do it his own way, then so be it. But so far, some of this doesn't follow, like, the standard playbook for how teams get better.
Doesn't this sound like they offered D'Antoni a lousy deal and he said no?
Yeah.
They offered him a lousy deal.
That's what it sounds like to me. Incentive, like, anytime you're trumping the incentives in a contract.
Think about this. Say this out loud. Mike D'Antoni, who has more incentive to win in the NBA playoffs than any coach in the league based on what it would do to his legacy, he's getting $4 million in incentives? That's crazy.
$4 million in incentives, which gave him the ability to make how much?
I think $9 million.
Did he say that?
That's what I've heard.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
So that doesn't match up with what I've heard. Okay. So, yeah, like, I don't, as soon as Tillman Fertitta started saying that, it just felt so much like when I've been in situations where a boss or a GM is trying to tell you, like, trying to sell you something. Like, hey, look at all these incentives. Look at it. Like, I'm some peasant, you know, like, I'm so, like, I just rolled in from the hills, and you're going to impress me with, like, oh, look at this. Look, Seth, I've got this real estate in Florida. You can buy it for $7, but it's going to be worth something someday.
Yeah.
Incentives. You're trumping the incentives in a contract. That's not what retains really good NFL or NBA talent. I don't know.
It's a cool way of, you know, hiding the fact that you're cheap, but hey, do you, Tillman?
Allegedly cheap. That's because we'll know Fertitta will flip out if you call him cheap, like they did at Sirius up there.
Ah.
And so allegedly, I guess some people claim that. I haven't yet. I'm waiting to see what happens this year, you know, using the mid-level exception, some of these things. The weirdest thing Fertitta's done in the last 3 weeks was claiming that it was an accident to get under the luxury tax this year, when it was clearly a concerted effort to get under the luxury tax. He kind of really sold Daryl Morey down the river on that one. Like, you're going to come out and tell Jonathan Fagan that it was an accident you got under the luxury tax? That would make Daryl Morey look like the biggest clown on earth that somehow he haphazardly created all these moves to get under the luxury tax. That's selling out your GM right there. Now you're trying to sell to the universe that, like, hey, we gave Mike D'Antoni a great offer, had lots of incentives, had all kinds of bells and whistles, and he turned it down. Can you believe it?
This does not feel like the owner of a really aggressive basketball team that's trying to spend every single possible dime that they have to get to a championship. It just doesn't. Now, they can spin it whatever way that they want, but as we've said earlier this week, okay, well, if you're not feeling Mike D'Antoni for the long-term future, blow him out, bring somebody else in, bring the best person that you possibly can bring in, and pay that guy. Because yes, that's your responsibility as an owner.
It feels so much like Tillman Fertitta is still, like, rubbing balm on the scars of Tom Herman. of the scars that Tom Herman gave him. Like, it feels like, man, I've been burned once before. I'm not going to let it happen again. I'll never love again. I'm never going to be made a fool of again. Which you weren't, by the way, Tillman. You weren't made a fool of. Tom Herman told a lot of lies. He told that Oliver, I'm staying forever. Like, he told a lot of lies, and you got burned, but it didn't. Tom Herman didn't make Tillman Fertitta look like a fool. But if you let those Tom Herman created scars affect you in your business making decisions and sports for the rest of time, then you might start looking like a fool. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, I agree in the context of U of H, but in this case, if you give your coach a normal contract extension, something that's lucrative, there's no risk of a Tom Herman. He can't leave your job to go somewhere else. He can't do that. What happened with Tom Herman at U of H is not something that can happen in the NBA.
Right, but where that extends to this situation, and again, I'm not approving of the way he's handling it, is that he'd have to eat the contract. Like, I think it seems like in Tillman Fertitta's mind, like, the thought of eating dead money is just somehow unconscionable to him, and, like, he can't look at that as a sunk cost. Where, for the most part, in sports, in the business of sports, that's generally the way you have to operate. You've got a certain amount of sunk costs every year. Dead money on player contracts, dead money on coaches' contracts. It's like retail stores have to deal with a certain amount of shrinkage from shoplifting.
Yeah.
You can't let it keep you up at night. You got to just kind of manage it and move along.
It's part of your accounting, literally. Like, yeah. You're going to account for that in your financial statements or your projections moving forward. What they've done with D'Antoni is an absolute and total crock. That is what they've done. You should have extended him or fired him. I said this Tuesday or Wednesday. That's what they should have done, and that's what they have not done with Mike D'Antoni. And if Tillman Fertitta was the owner of the Texans, this would be the only story in town today. This would be the absolute only story in town if something like this was going on, where the owner is saying one thing, but his actions are doing something else, and they're offering their coach a lousy contract that doesn't keep up with market value of the top coaches in the NBA.
Yeah, the funny thing is, and this is where it started to bother me yesterday, is I realized what was gnawing at me is they're trying to frame this as being aggressive.
Yes.
Like, the Rockets are trying to frame this as being aggressive. Like, oh no, we've got higher standards. We want more. That's great, but you've done a whole lot of lopping off in half measures, because that's what you're doing with D'Antoni. Like, Mike, you're exactly right. If you're genuinely aggressive, you're either going to extend D'Antoni or you're going to fire him and start fresh.
That's it.
That's the aggressive measure. Don't let the Rockets fool you into thinking this is aggressive. This is not, because I saw yesterday, it was Greg Rajan, who I like a lot, but Greg Rajan basically framed it as the Rockets being super aggressive and the Texans being super conservative. That's not it at all. It's maybe the Texans are too conservative at times, and maybe they spent too much on extending
B.O.B.
on Bill O'Brien. But here, this is not aggressive by the Rockets whatsoever.
No.
They can frame it by saying, hey, we gave them incentives and we just have higher standards than other people. That's not it at all. This is being incredibly fiscally conservative, like, at the expense of the future of your team and the few years you have of James Harden.